If you ache for truth, goodness, and beauty, if you're hungry for a Christianity with substance and strength, if you long for a faith that's big and bold and biblical and all about Jesus Christ, if you're inspired by the idea of one church that has spanned 20 centuries, 24 time zones, and two hemispheres, enfolding every race, nation, and language, then you're considering Catholicism. Well, welcome back to Considering Catholicism. My name is Greg, your host, and I am here once again with Ed the Protestant.
Always.
As always. Well, no, it's not,
not always.
As we are often wont to do.
Yes, as is our wont.
As is our wont. And we're nearing the end of the afternoon, so our blood sugar levels are dropping and our energy levels. Because as we become men of a certain age, when we record in the afternoon like this, we don't get our afternoon nap.
And I just texted my wife and asked her to take the steaks out of the fridge so that I can grill them tonight.
But how bougie.
I know. But now I'm hungry.
Now you're sitting here thinking about the steak. I need you to stay focused for about 30 more minutes here.
I think I can.
And I think this may be the last time we have to record indoors year, because I think next week it's going to get to the point where from that point on, we can be recording outside at the secret compound, which I personally like, but we are once again indoors. And in this episode, I want to take on a couple of questions that we got from listeners, or in particular one listener who wrote in. It's a woman that I'll call Madison, not her real name, but we'll call her Madison. I shared it with you, and I thought this was interesting because this is something that you're sort of processing yourself as you consider Catholicism, what your next moves are in terms of entering the church. So here's what Madison said. Her first question was, why is the barrier to entry in the Catholic Church so high?
Yeah.
She said, one of the attractive parts about Protestantism is that I can just say a prayer in my heart and be saved. We talk about that all the time on this podcast. I think we talked about it in the last episode, that all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer and you're in. She said, I'm considering converting, but there's all of this paperwork that you have to do. And you have to take this class or this program called RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. And it lasts 6 months or whatever. And it seems like a whole lot of rigmarole that you got to go through this kind of new members program and all this paperwork and all these classes and all this ritual or whatever. And then she says, like, how can Catholicism justify that a sinner might be considering Catholicism and going to RCA or waiting for the next class session to start, and then they die in a car accident? So in other words, she's saying, I want to enter the church and I want to be able to have the sacraments and enjoy all that. But then I got to do this 6 month class and fill out all this paperwork and go to all these sessions and do all this stuff. And what if I'm halfway through it and I get run over by a bus, then I never got into the church. And she says, in Protestantism, if I'm considering converting, it's a very small jump for me just to decide to follow Jesus and I'm in. So, since you are going through this process, or you may be soon or whatever, what are your thoughts?
Well,
Ed?
At first I felt the same way. Like, holy cow, you mean I can't, you know, I'm ready to join the Catholic Church. How about this Sunday? Can we just do that, right? But now, after I've learned so much about it over the last couple of years, I'm starting to see this barrier, if you want to call it that, the way she puts it, I'm beginning to see that as a feature and not a bug. Okay. It's like the old Groucho Marx quote, I would never want to belong to a club that would have me as a member, right? If it's so easy to get into the Protestant church that they'll take me without asking any questions and I can immediately just join right in, then, well, how much are they really expecting of me and why do I even need to go? I like it that the Catholic Church expects things of me.
Yeah. If you could just go online and pay your $20 registration fee and then they send you a handsome certificate suitable for framing, you can say, what's the value of joining that?
Exactly.
But I think she's getting at some other things here that I think I want to probe a little bit in this conversation, which is the difference, I think, between belief and participation in the church.
Yeah.
Okay. The barrier, I think, to belief in Christ is, I want to say, low.
Right.
Right? I mean, so when she says, well, in my heart, I can believe in Jesus, and
right.
that's true in Catholicism. I mean, tomorrow you can believe in Jesus. You have expressed on this show that you have come to believe in the truths of Catholicism.
Right.
Right? You've said, been pretty public about the fact that you kind of believe in Catholic, not only right. you believe in Christ, but you believe Catholic theology.
Right.
Right? And you can believe those things. And in that sense, the barrier for belief is whether you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the barrier to participation, to entering into full communion with the church,
right.
is another thing. And that is a higher bar.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the first thing I want to say is our perception of how high that bar is pretty relative today.
Yeah.
So in other words, we go, wow, 6 months of new members class, that just seems like incredibly burdensome.
I can sign up for Netflix quicker than that.
Yeah, I can sign up for everything in our society faster than that. But if you go back to the church of history, historically, it was higher than that in the early church. So again, we can go to the book of Acts and we go, well, in the book of Acts, this person believed and they were saved and they were baptized. Yep. But we know within the first decades and early centuries of the church that what would happen is someone would believe in Christ. They would believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, and this is during the Roman Empire.
Right.
And then they would say, okay. But then if you want to be baptized and take the Eucharist, have First Communion, enter into full communion with the church as a convert, there was a period of instruction.
Yeah.
Because how much, when you say you believe, how much do you understand about what you're believing?
Yeah. Right?
So
yeah,
we look at the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. That's the Apostles' Creed, right? And actually, that was the early baptismal formula in the ancient church. Hmm. So in other words, that's where it came from, that Apostles' Creed. When you would be baptized, you would be able to stand there and confess that at your baptism and receive your baptism because you were confessing that you believe the truths of the Christian faith. But let's suppose you were in the Roman Empire and you were a farmer or a merchant or a slave or a soldier or whatever, and you heard about Jesus and you heard about the gospel. And you said, I want to convert and I want to become a Christian, enter the church. They said, great. At your baptism, you're going to recite what I just recited, the Apostles, what we now know as the Apostles' Creed. But do you understand those words?
Right. Yeah.
All those words that I just said, do you understand what they mean? And so there would be a period of instruction and discernment where that convert was taught what those things mean so that they can say them with a clean conscience. I do understand what I'm saying. I do believe these things. I know what they mean and I believe them.
Yep.
And also the church could, in a sense, determine or discern whether you were sincere. Are you just trying to join for the wrong reasons? Right?
Yep.
Now, that period of discernment, that person was known as a catechumen. From Latin word about learning and teaching. They were somebody who was in that period of learning.
Yep.
They were kind of a candidate.
So have I gone from being Ed the Protestant to Ed the Catechumen?
Well, you'll be Ed the Catechumen when you enter RCIA. Oh,
okay.
You officially become a catechumen in that process.
So I have goals to reach for.
Yeah, you have goals to reach for. Actually, you become if you were baptized in a Protestant church, you would be a candidate because you don't need baptism. You are in RCA, if you have not been baptized, then you're a catechumen because at Easter Vigil, you're going to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, because you were already baptized, you would be a candidate. And so at Easter Vigil, when you enter the church, you would receive your first communion.
Okay.
Right, the first Eucharist. So that period of being a catechumen in the ancient church would often take a year. Because they would, at Easter Vigil, do these baptisms.
Yep.
And the person would say the Apostles' Creed and affirm their faith and be baptized and enter into full communion with the sacraments. And that period, from one Easter to the next, would be that period of discernment and learning. Now, in the ancient church, people thought, well, this is worth it. I mean, it's worth it to be instructed and discipled and learn and grow and finally to be prepared to be able to say those words in a clean conscience with full understanding and receive baptism and First Communion right. and enter into the church. And in the ancient church, nobody thought it was burdensome to spend that amount of time. I think when we look at it and go, 6 months? Because RCIA is like basically one night a week. You show up to a new members class one night a week, starts in September, October, and is done by Easter.
20 weeks, 25?
It's 14 sessions.
Okay.
Yep. So like for spread over this time. So, oh my gosh, in each session, let's say is 90 minutes or something like that. So you're like, I don't know what the math on that works out to be, but you know, 25 hours or 35 hours, I never do math in public, but whatever that is, right? I mean, you're asking me to sit through 30 to 40 hours of material spread over 5 or 6 months.
Like a college class.
This is insane. Why are you asking so much? Because nothing in our society asks that much of you.
Right.
Unless it is something serious, right? If you're being trained to be a police officer, you wouldn't put a police officer on the street and go through at least 5 months of training. You wouldn't put somebody in an operating room or have them be a nurse or have them fly an airplane or have them do anything of value or have them take on any serious responsibility. If you're going to get a concealed carry license, you have to go through a period of instruction to show that you won't shoot your foot off or shoot out somebody else, right? Most things that are valuable have a period of instruction and certification to them. And so one of the things I think that's important about Catholicism is that the Catholic Church takes the church seriously, or Catholicism takes the church seriously. It being part of the church means something.
Yeah.
This being admitted to the sacraments has value.
Yeah.
Real value. And so that period of those barriers that the listener is writing about, that barrier to entry, there's a couple things that happen. One is the instruction and the discernment on the part of the catechumen or the candidate.
Right.
Because when, like I teach the RCIA class, so as we go through that, I say, okay, this is what it means, those words of the Apostles' Creed. This is what that means. This is what it means to say that there's a Holy Trinity. Do you understand what the Trinity is? Do you understand what the communion of the saints is? Do you understand how we're forgiven by our sins? Now, the savvy person says, well, I know all that because I've been listening to the Considering Catholicism podcast for a year, right? You go, okay, but this is a chance for us in a class as a group to go through, let's explain what these things mean.
Right.
Do you have questions?
Right.
Let's make sure you answer questions so that you can say in good conscience, I understand and I mean it. The other thing that happens, and the listener alludes to paperwork. So I'm going to talk about that for a second because there is some paperwork involved. So in your case, Ed, if you go into RCIA, I, as the RCIA director, am going to ask a couple of questions. And the one is, Ed, have you been baptized before?
Right.
And you're going to say yes or no, or I'm not sure, or maybe, or kind of. And I'm going to say, okay, if you were baptized, what church were you baptized in? Was it legit? I was baptized as a Mormon.
Right.
Or a Jehovah's Witness or something. Okay, hold on a second. Because those are religions that don't believe the same things that we believe. Right. I don't want to get all that right now.
Right.
So that baptism wouldn't be recognized as a valid baptism. And that's okay because it means at Easter Vigil that we'll baptize you.
Right.
But we need to determine, were you baptized in a Christian church?
Yeah.
According to the formula of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all that, right? So there's a piece of paperwork there, or there's paperwork. We're going to ask you to kind of fill that out. Were you baptized? If so, where and when and under what circumstances? Right. there may be somebody who says, well, my parents were Catholics. They baptized me as a child and then they got divorced. So I never had first communion. I never had confirmation. I go, right. Okay, now I understand what sacraments you need.
Right.
And what the process of this is. So to prepare you for the Easter Vigil and what sacraments we should be preparing you for. So there's some paperwork with that. Another issue is, are you married or have you been married before?
Right.
Because, and I don't want to go through it all right now, we've done episodes about this, the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Right.
Are you in a valid marriage or an invalid marriage? And if you're in an invalid marriage, and you can go back and listen to those episodes about the Catholic teaching on marriage and annulments, then maybe that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Because if you were sacramentally married to person A and you left them, or divorce them and are now civilly married to person B, then we have an issue that we need to reconcile because it is a sacramental issue.
Right.
Are you in a sacramentally valid place? And so in this RCIA process, we're going to look at that. There's some paperwork, some questionnaires we fill out. And then the RCIA director would say, okay, let's go over this stuff and figure out where you're at and what needs to happen and what needs to be accomplished so that you can enter into full communion and be admitted completely to the sacraments. And then during that 6-month process, we can address those issues.
Yep.
Does that all make sense?
Yep.
So we can see that as a high barrier, or we can see it as attaching great value to entering to full sacramental communion with the church.
Yep.
Now, again, that doesn't stop you from believing. But then our listener here sort of puts another twist on that. And she asks, well, what if I'm on my way to my third RCIA class and I get hit by a car? I wanted to be a Catholic, but I never got admitted to the sacraments because I didn't finish the RCIA class because I got hit by a car on the way to my arm. And therefore, I never got to take the Eucharist and never got to make confession, receive absolution, and all this. So now am I like not going to go to heaven because I didn't do that? What I would say about that is, well, look, that's not a unique issue because we live in time. We live in linear time as creatures. And something can always happen on the way to, okay, let's suppose that I have sins I need to confess. You know, last week I committed mortal sins.
Right.
So I know the remedy for that is I go to confession. Mm-hmm. I confess those and the priest gives me absolution and penance. So let's suppose that I've got these mortal sins and confession is on Wednesday night at 5:00 and I park across the street in the parking lot. And as I'm crossing the street to go to confession, I get plowed over by a cement truck.
Right.
Whap! I died before I could get to the confessional. Am I just going to go to hell? And this is where, because we're creatures that live in time, God judges to some degree us in that context. You were on your way to confession.
Right.
And you were attempting to make confession.
Right. He's not an idiot.
When the cement truck hit you. Okay.
Right.
Now, if I was living in mortal sin and I didn't care, and that's the point of mortal sin, is that I'm living in separation from God and I don't care and I'm not trying to address it. I was not going to confession. I was on my way back to the no-tell motel to commit more mortal sins when the cement truck hit me. Okay. That's a very different situation than the person who got hit by the cement truck walking into church to confess. And in the same way, you could say, well, I accepted Christ. I desired to enter the Catholic Church. I began the process of being a catechumen, but before I could finish the RCIA class, a piece of Skylab fell on my head, right? A meteor hit me and I wasn't able to complete the class. And then you go to the stand before the Lord and go, I got through 13 of the 14 sessions.
Right.
And I think we trust in the mercy and the goodness and the justice of God who says, well, you're right. And so I don't think that barrier of entry that the listener raises, like I said, there's not a barrier to belief.
Right.
And there's a process attached to entering into full communion with the Catholic Church and full admittance to the sacraments, which I think is a very organized, rational, and reasonable process.
Yeah.
And if you look at its 10, 11, 12, 14 sessions, whatever, however your parish organizes it, of 90 minutes each, that's less time than it takes you to accomplish anything else of value or get certified for anything.
Or take driver's training.
Or driver's training, right. Yeah. Before you can drive the car, if you're in driver's training. We're going to put you in the car before you finish driver's training and pass your driver's test and all that. So, and in fact, that's maybe a good example of like when you get your learner's permit.
Sure.
So being a catechumen and entering into RCIA is you're in that period where you have your learner's permit, you're preparing to take your final driver's test. And then you can stand there and they take an awkward picture of you that looks terrible. And but you're in. And there's that period of preparation and discernment. And I think that the church gets this right. And I think one of the problems is that so many evangelical churches, there are no standards.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do I have to do? You and I have been part of mega churches. What do I have to do to be a part of the church? Maybe they have a new members class, which is a couple of sessions or a Saturday workshop, but it's not going to assess your suitability to the sacraments. It's not going to probably do much of a deep dive into making sure you understand. Might be a little bit of that.
Right.
But I mean, again, by that principle, whether it's RCIA with 14 sessions or the Protestant church with 4 sessions, still the principle is the same.
Right.
'Cause you could try to join the Protestant church where it's only a 30-day class instead of a 5 or 6 month class, but you could still get
run over as a cement truck,
hit back, you know, on the third week. So there's that is what it is because we live in linear time and anything that has value. I mean, look at marriage prep. Somebody comes in and says, I want to get married. We even do in the Catholic Church baptism prep. So if you're a new parent and you've got a child and you want to baptize your child, there are some prep things because you want to make sure that if you're going to baptize your child, you understand what that means and that you understand that you're standing up for the sacrament of baptism and what it means and what the responsibilities and obligations of that are and the significance of it and you know how to go through it. If you come in and say, I want to get married, you're going to do a meeting with the priest and then you're going to do a pre-marriage class. And
if all there was to getting married was just saying, let's be married. Okay. We're married now. You could just quit and it wouldn't mean anything.
Well, right. I mean, but that's what we do in our society where you can do rent-a-minister.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have a bunch of friends that are rent-a-ministers, my part of Protestant friends, because in many cases, it's kind of a nice little lucrative side hustle or side gig, right? Because you say, hey, Pastor Josh will do your wedding for $300 and one every weekend.
When I got married, we were chopping around for a church to get married in. We already had a minister. We had all that stuff set up. And I called the pastor of a particular church we wanted to rent. And I said, it was of a particular denomination. So I said, do you guys have any religious restrictions or any things or any rules or anything like that? And he said, and I knew this guy a little bit. And he said, the pastor said, you're not going to sacrifice a cat or something, are you? And I said, no, it's a regular Protestant marriage. And he said, then you're fine. But it wasn't, he didn't really care.
Well, I mean, for that matter, you can go to the wedding chapel at the resort or Vegas or whatever, and just walk in and pay your money and be married. But, you know, in the Catholic Church, we take the sacraments seriously. And so if you're going to baptize your child, you go through that. When a kid makes first communion, usually around second grade, there's preparation for first communion.
Yep.
And because they do their first confession. And so they learn how to do a confession. When they hit eighth grade, about 13 years old, they go through confirmation. In some parishes, the confirmation prep lasts a year. In some parishes, it's 2 years. It's basically they come once a week to their...
Yep.
Now, it's not Sunday school. It's usually another night of the week or something, but it's like a Sunday school class. Yep. And substance of those classes is walking them through the beliefs and practices of the church so that when they stand up there for confirmation, they can say in good conscience, I believe in what the church teaches, and I promise to follow that or whatever. And I have a commitment to do so. And so you're not going to just let them stand up there if they've not gone through some preparation, because that makes that confirmation meaningless. And again, parents are going to go through a baptism preparation class. You're going to go through a marriage prep process.
Yep.
And so I think part of this comes down to believing that the sacraments matter, believing that the church matters. It's not a barrier to your belief, but it is taking those things seriously and preparing people to respond or affirm they're entering into the church with a clear conscience. And that raises another issue that she raises in her email, because she says, well, what if I, through this process, have disagreements with church teaching? So I believe in 80% of what the church teaches, but not 100%. Well, that's what that RCIA process is. Or I could also argue, like, if you're going through marriage prep, like, I'm going to get married. Because when I was a Protestant pastor, I used to do marriage prep for people. Mm-hmm. And people go, and there are some people who go, yeah, we want to get married. And then they go through the marriage preparation process and marriage, pre-marriage counseling. And you go, these people have really not healthy understanding of marriage, and they don't really have a healthy commitment to it. They're entering into something they don't understand or don't really believe in. Right. And then do you in good conscience as a pastor or a priest go, yeah, I'm going to stand up there and do this wedding with people who don't really understand it, or don't really mean it.
Right.
So part of it is allowing you in your conscience to be able to say, because if someone says, look, I'm going to stand up there and join the church at Easter Vigil and be baptized and confirmed into the church and make my first communion, but the whole time I'm doing it, I have mental reservations.
Right.
Isn't that a thing? Sometimes they'll ask you under oath, do you have mental reservations with full understanding?
Yeah.
And when they say, well, like, I agree with 80 or 90%, but there's a few things I don't agree with.
Right.
Well, that's exactly why we have this period of conversation. So if you take RCIA, on week one, week two, week three, whatever, we're going to have a topic for the night.
Right.
And we're going to go through that topic, and there's going to be discussion, and it's a chance for everybody in the class to talk about whether they understand it, to ask questions, to get their questions clarified. And if along the way you go, I'm not sure I feel good about the teachings of the Catholic Church, then you go, well, this is not so much me failing you, like a teacher failing you, as much as me saying to you, well, then do you want to stand up and join a church you don't, that you don't affirm its teachings? Can you in good conscience say that?
Yes, I want to join the army, but I don't want to get up early, and I don't want to shoot a gun, and I don't want to run 2 miles with an 80-pound pack.
Yeah. Now, in that process of discernment in that class, we would talk about, is this a grave matter or not? If what you say you say, well, I like Catholicism, but, you know, I think that the bishops, their pointy hats look stupid. I think when the bishops or the Pope wear the pointy hat, it looks dumb. And you go, yeah, okay, that's probably not a grave matter.
Right.
You can join the Catholic Church in good conscience and not like the hats.
Right.
But if you say, I don't believe in the church's teaching on marriage or the sacraments or the nature of Christ, or salvation, all right? And you go, well, that would be the case where in RCIA, the RCIA leader would say, okay, in the discussion last night, tonight, you seem to be struggling with this issue. Why don't we maybe we'll meet for a cup of coffee and explore what your struggles are with this and see if we can work those out? Not because I'm trying to fail you, but because I'm trying to help you work through those things so you can decide with a clear conscience that you want to join or not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So anyway, Ed, as Ed the Protestant, who at some point might be Ed the Catholic, why don't you give the last word on this topic?
I've come to the conclusion that it is worth doing. It has bothered me all of my Protestant life that they don't really ask much of me. And when I started to get my hands around this and understand it better, I thought, well, okay, good. Like, I'm a person who doesn't necessarily like structure. Okay, I mean, I'm a musician, come on. But I need it. And this is, to me, 10 times, 100 times better than just being told that I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah. One of the things that attracted me is, I know I'm stealing the last word, but I wanted to be a part of something that was valuable.
Yes.
That
exactly.
Like, and I think that's one of the things when I began my road to Rome, I began to grasp that the church was valuable and that the Catholic Church treated it as valuable.
Yeah.
And I wanted something that was valuable. So anyway, if you are considering Catholicism and you're interested in RCIA, the process of entering the church, then go to your local parish and ask them, go to their website, email them, talk to them, and find out about their RCIA program. Mm-hmm. Generally, that program starts in September or October and finishes at Easter. but make sure you go to your local parish and inquire. And if you have questions, talk to that RCIA leader about the process and what's involved. If you have other questions, we've had several episodes where we've talked about it before, but you can always write me, consideringcatholicism@gmail.com. Write me with your questions about how to enter the church or any other questions or comments, and be happy to answer those either on the air or off. Be patient, because sometimes it takes me a week or so to get to the email, right? Because we get a lot of email, and this ministry is not my full-time job, so
right,
it takes time to sometimes get to them. But please write in with your questions or your comments. And also, would you rate the podcast? I say it every time on every episode. It really, really helps us if you give us a rating on Spotify or Apple or Amazon. And if you write a review on our website or on Apple Podcasts, that really helps us. Go to the website, consideringcatholicism.com, where you can find all the content there, organized and categorized and searchable. And also, would you consider supporting this ministry with a one-time or recurring donation so we can continue keeping it going and expanding it and reaching more people around the country and around the world and helping them to consider Catholicism? And Ed, now you're going to go home and have a very bougie evening you have planned.
Yeah, I bought one of those steak pounding hammers.
Oh my
God. So you can tenderize
it. This seriously.
Yeah, I'm into it.
You're like pounding the steak and wow.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a pizza and watching the Masters golf tournament tonight.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm gonna just kind of just unplug and watch the Masters and eat pizza tonight.
Are you going to get the gas station pizza?
No, we're not getting gas station pizza tonight.
Right.
We have an alternate plan.
Right.
Gas station pizza is generally good when we're out at the secret compound.
You have another supplier. Yeah.
We do. Yeah, we have another supplier. Yeah. Okay. So in any case, that's the plan. And we'll be back soon with another episode. And thank you for joining us.